me, Huntley. I'm with just David tonight. And whenever this episode comes out, that basically why there's only two of us is because what happened on the congressional certification of the election and shit got wild. I'm sure that if you don't know what's going on, you lived under a rock for the last 2 or 3 weeks by the time this comes out, but that's why there's only two of us tonight.
And I probably envy anyone who actually is living under a rock.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Shit got real. Shit got real, real quick. Yeah, just... I don't know anymore. Like,
I don't know either.
What the
fuck? Like, where do we go?
Yeah. Where do we go?
It's just like, I don't know.
Hopefully, space. Yeah. Where
we'll be going
today. It'd be kind of just, you know, something, a fascinating case of alien worm, like alien abductions that existed. But we're going to tell the story of Betty White. And on October 23rd, a woman named Betty Hill died. I can't believe I said Betty White, but whatever. but on October 23rd,
what year?
2004, huh?
Oh, 2004, okay.
Yeah, 2004. A woman named Betty White died from lung cancer, according to Kathleen, her niece. Normally, those with the occupation of social worker don't find their deaths being covered by the New York Times. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no. I can't imagine anyone would live in that high profile of a place.
But while Betty may have been just a, you know, normal woman working a normal job, she had a previous experience that, you know, kind of blew the minds off of the nation and has fueled speculation in the UFO communities for decades now. And that's because Betty Hill and her husband, Barney Hill, claimed that they were abducted by aliens. And their story took place on like a small road as they were making their way home from Canada to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Apparently, they had taken a belated honeymoon. I see just some people say road trip because Barney's health was declining. I see belated honeymoon. I don't know the exact reasoning. It could be both. They're just like, whoa, Barney's health is going down and we never did our honeymoon. Fuck it. Let's go to Canada. And this is an excerpt from the NICAP, which is the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomenon. And I'll just read a little excerpt real quick. The date is September 19th, 1961. A middle-aged New Hampshire couple, Betty and Barney Hill, are driving home from a short vacation in Canada. It's dark with the moon and stars illuminating the wooded landscape along U.S. Route 3 in central New Hampshire. The Hill's curiosity is aroused when a bright star seems to move in an irregular pattern. They stop the car. For a better view, the object moves closer, and its disc-like shape becomes evident. Barney grabs his binoculars from the car seat and steps out. He walks into a field to get a closer look and focuses the binoculars and sees the object plainly. It has windows, and behind the windows, looking directly at him, are humanoid creatures. Terrified, Barney stumbles back to the car, throws it into first gear and roars off, but for some reason he turns down a side road where five of the humanoids are standing on the road in front of his car. Apparently unable to control their actions, Betty and Barney are easily taken back to the ship by the humanoids, and while inside they are physically examined, one of the humanoids communicates with Betty, and after the examination, she asks him where they're from. In response, he shows her a three-dimensional map with various sized dots and lines on it. Where are you on the map? The humanoid asks Betty. She doesn't know, so the subject is dropped. Betty and Barney are returned unharmed to their car, and they are told they will forget the abduction portion of the incident. The ship rises and then hurtles out of sight. The couple continue their journey home, oblivious of the abduction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So when now, how long was it afterwards until they reported on it or remembered?
That's where this is getting, this one's really interesting to me because it's kind of all over the place. But after arriving home at dawn, the Hills assert that they had some odd sensations and impulses that they could not readily explain. Betty insisted their luggage be kept near the back door rather than in the main part of the house. Their watches would never work again, and Barney said that the leather strap for the binoculars were torn, though he could not recall tearing them. The toes of his best dress shoes were scraped, and Barney says he was compelled to examine his genitalia in the bathroom, though he found nothing unusual about them. And they took long showers to remove possible contamination. Each drew a picture of what they had observed. Perplexed, the Hills said they tried to reconstruct the chronology of the events as they witnessed the UFO and drove home. But immediately after they heard the buzzing sounds, their memories became incomplete and fragmented. And after sleeping for a few hours, Betty awoke and placed the shoes and the clothing she had worn during the drive into her closet, observing that the dress was torn at the hem, zipper, and lining. And later, when she retrieved the items from her closet, she noticed a pinkish powder on her dress. She hung the dress on her clothesline, and the pink powder blew away, but the dress was irreparably damaged. She threw it away, but then she changed her mind and retrieved the dress and hung it in her closet. Over the years, 5 laboratories have conducted chemical and forensic analysis on the dress. And I don't think anything consistent has happened with that. But when did they tell somebody? This is where it starts getting weird to me. Is on the 21st of September, Betty telephoned Pease Air Force Base to report their UFO encounter. And though, for fear of being labeled eccentric, she withheld some of the details. And on the 22nd, Major Paul W. Henderson telephoned the Hills for a more detailed interview. Henderson's report is dated on the 26th and determined that the Hills had probably misidentified the planet Jupiter. And this was later on changed to just the standard optical condition of the reason why they saw this. And there was not enough data on here, but the project, the report was forwarded to Project Blue Book, which, if you don't know what Project Blue Book is basically the Air Force's UFO secret project, apparently. Okay. I think Project Blue Book is real, but I know some people it's never been confirmed. And yeah, why did they withhold information though about this? Why, if you're right, calling the Air Force, why don't you just fucking tell them everything that happened? It's not like the Air Force is going to go around and just be like, they're crazy, go to the nearest town and just be like, do you know Barney and Betty Hill? They fucking nuts,
right? Interesting question. Do you know anything about their political affiliation? Are they libertarian or something?
I actually do, and I think this might explain some of it. Uh-huh. And they were an interracial couple in the 60s. Betty was a white woman, Barney Hill was a black man. And Barney Hill was active with the civil rights movement and sat on the chair for NAACP.
Okay. And what year did that happen?
This was in the 60s. And interracial, 60s. I believe interracial unions were still pretty illegal in a lot of the country. So I can understand the hesitation on that end, being a black man married to a white woman in the 60s and being active in the civil rights movement, why you wouldn't want your name to be published with all this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Also, I can easily see nerves, or just maybe they didn't know how to explain everything.
Yeah, the first I can time. See that too.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing that occurred after this was, while neither of them recalled being abducted at the time, Betty began having dreams, like nightmare dreams, of her husband and her being taken onto a craft of some kind against their will. And in a matter of weeks, you know, they kept continuing. And I'm going to read an excerpt from what two writers said about the story they got. And by the way, this is before any publicity happened. While she was having these dreams, publicity for this comes much later. But this is okay. Just an excerpt. But the Hills are troubled by unexplained dreams and anxiety about 2 hours of their trip that they can't account for. Betty, a social worker, asks advice from a psychiatrist friend. He suggests that the memory of that time will be gradually restored over the next few months, but it never is. 2 years after the incident, the couple are still bothered by the two missing hours, and Barney's ulcers are acting up. A Boston psychiatrist, Benjamin Simon, is recommended after several months of weekly hypnosis sessions. The bizarre events of that night are revealed. A short time later, a UFO group leaks a distorted version of the story to the press, and the whole thing blows up. Now, some of these disturbing dreams from outside of that, just being abducted, she wrote a letter later after having these dreams to Major Donald Kehoe, who is in charge of the NICAP that we referred to earlier. He wasn't at the time. He was like, actually, he was a scientific advisor, my mistake. It was Major McDonald who made the suggestion to the Hills that the regressive hypnosis might account for 2 hours of missing time in the spring of 1962. And the Hills contacted a psychiatrist about hypnosis sessions, but decided to put it off for the time. All the while, Betty was still haunted by these dreams. So from what I'm understanding, had the dreams, first talked to a friend psychiatrist who was just like, it'll come back to you. And then they were just like, okay, well, maybe it's not coming back to us. Maybe we need to go actually do this. Cause if I was having haunting dreams and I lost 2 hours of time, I'd kind of want to know what happened.
Yeah. Be a little bit curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like they decided to go back cause shit's still going on.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like trying to think about like 2 hours, you know, of being abducted. Like, I don't know if that feels too short or too long to me. Like, because there are some people, you know, they would say they would get abducted for like a couple days or a week or something.
Yeah.
Where there's like that big chunk of missing time. So it's like, it just seems like it should be longer. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that's like average length of time with the stories that you've read?
I mean, me personally, I lose 2 hours all the time. but if I was on a road trip and I was having nightmarish things, I think it's the compounding of all the things of just like the road trip, the missing time, and the bad dreams. Like, one of those I could just probably write off and be like, well, I was high. But all three of them, I would be like, probably need to ask around about this.
Yeah.
Now,
that's fair.
Yeah. Now, while, this is all kind of just, like, they're reaching out to psychiatrists and they're reaching out to UFO and Army people. But this has not become public yet. And this is where the disclosures come in. On November 23rd, 1962, the Hills attended a meeting at their local church where an invited guest speaker was Captain Ben Sweat of the United States Air Force, who had recently published a book of his poetry. After he read selections of his poetry, the pastor asked him to discuss his personal interest in hypnosis. After the meeting broke up, the Hills approached Captain Sweat privately and told him they could remember what they could remember of their strange encounter. He was particularly interested in the missing time of the Hills account. And the Hills asked Sweat if he could hypnotize them to recover their memories, but Sweat said he was not qualified to do such things and cautioned them against going to an amateur hypnosis such as himself. Yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't want to go to an amateur hypnosis.
Yeah, no. Need an expert for this kind of stuff.
So they sit on this for another year, not telling anybody. The only person that knows is all the army people and the UFO specialists that they've reached out to. But finally, on March 3rd, 1963, the Hills publicly discussed the UFO encounters with a group at church. And then, another couple months later, Captain Sweat returned and gave a formal lecture on hypnosis to the church that they went to. And after the lecture, the Hills told him that Barney was going to a psychiatrist, Mr. Stevens, who he liked and trusted, and Captain Wett suggested that Barney ask Stevens about the use of hypnosis in his case. And next time, when Barney's met with Stevens, he was asked about hypnosis. Stevens referred the Hills to Benjamin Simon, who we discussed earlier in Boston. And Simon doesn't really believe the UFO shit from how it sounded. And then, a couple months later, on November 3rd, 63, the Hill spoke to an amateur UFO study group in the two-state UFO study group in Quincy Center, Massachusetts. And then they finally get to the hypnotist. And the Hills first met Simon on December 14th, 1963. In their discussion, Simon determined that the UFO encounter was causing Barney far more worry and anxiety than he was willing to admit. And though Simon dismissed the UFO theory as impossible, it seemed obvious that the Hills genuinely thought that they had witnessed a UFO with humanoid occupants. Simon hoped to, you know, uncover more through the experience. So what I'm gathering is that while Simon acknowledged this shit was fucking the Hill family up, particularly Barney, and that Barney was more effective than he was letting on, he did not believe it whatsoever. He's just like, you're probably thinking you're covering up some kind of traumatic experience with whatever.
Right. Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, being in, you know, the psychologist's position, like, that seems much more, holy shit, I am fucking high right now. I'm losing my train of thought. He probably hears a lot of people talking about aliens all the time, so maybe that's like a regular occurrence for him. So he's like, nah, dude, it's just like your dreams or something. I don't know.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about what he uncovered, even though he may not have believed it. And this is just like the notes he took and like the narrative that surrounds that night. Through months of weekly sessions, Simon helped the couple piece together what they had thought had happened. A vessel had landed on the Hills' car, putting them to sleep. Afterwards, gray beings walked them up a long ramp into a spacecraft. Once inside, the Hills were separated, taking turns in the examination room that had curved walls and a slight large light hanging from the ceiling. Each was asked to climb on a metal table. The table was short. Barney's legs hung over the side. During the examinations, the beings removed Betty and Barney's clothes, plucked strands of their hairs, took clippings of their nails, and scraped their skin. Each sample was placed on a clear material, not unlike a glass slide. Needles connected to long wires probed their heads, arms, legs, and spines. One large needle around 4 to 6 inches long was inserted into Betty's belly. The pregnancy test left her twisting in pain. Throughout, a being Barney and Betty called the leader watched from the side. After Betty's exam, ended, the Bings rushed back into her room excited. They discovered that Barney's teeth couldn't be removed. Betty laughed, explaining that Barney had dentures, a fact that human aging, the Bings struggled to understand. Later, alone with the leader, Betty asked where the craft had flown. The star map we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Admitting she knew little of the universe, the Bing jokes saying with her, if you don't know where you are, there wouldn't be any point in telling you where I am. Later, under hypnosis, she drew a star map that was shown on the ship. Now, that sounds pretty fucking intense in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. Especially the needle stuck into...
Yeah, the stomach, the abdomen.
Yeah, the stomach, yeah.
Now, I like how Simons finds a way. Go on.
I was going to say, they kind of sound like dicks, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they do.
Like, you know, they couldn't even be bothered to try to explain, like, where they're located. Like, you know, like, here's a crazy fucking map. Let's see if you can understand it. He's like, if you don't get this, you're fucking dumb. There's no point in me talking to you.
Yeah, you're stupid. Well, why am I talking to you? Why am I wasting my time with this? Now, I like how Simon... the hypnotist was just like, still didn't believe them. And this is what he speculated. He speculated that Barney's recollection of the UFO encounter was possibly a fantasy inspired by Betty's dreams. Simon thought that it was the most reasonable and consistent explanation. So Betty's having these dreams, probably telling Barney, and Barney's just like, this really fucking happened. I don't get how you connect those two.
I don't either. I guess that was like the developmental days of psychology. So, but even still, you're right. It's like just like common sense. I'm not a fucking psychologist. How do you connect those dots?
Yeah.
You got to get like the board full, like pens and strings and papers and shit.
Yeah. Like the Charlie meme.
Yeah. The Charlie meme.
Yeah. Just be like, this is the reasonable explanation of why you're having these dreams and you're so fucking stressed all the time. Now, Barney rejected this, noting that while the memories were consistent in some regards, they were also portions of their narratives that were unique to each other. And that's correct. I mean, they each described, even in the hypnotist-ship, they had different stories that involved just them. Now, if Betty was dreaming this about both of them, wouldn't something get mixed up? Now, memories aren't reliable. We could talk about that at another time. But also at the same time, I think if you're going off somebody else's memories, they wouldn't be as consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'd have, unless they're like super into each other's head or something.
Yeah.
And they knew what exactly the other was thinking. But even then, like that's, you know, you were not the other person. So there's going to be something that gets mixed up eventually. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Barney was, after this, Barney was ready to be like, okay, we were really abducted by UFOs. But he never believed it as fully as Betty did. Betty, even on her, like when she was, you know, passing away, and like even in old age, she stuck with this. Barney died early. Barney died like about 5 years later in 1969, and Betty never remarried. And she still was just like, no, we were abducted by aliens.
Yeah, that's a long time to hold on to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think that she would just be like, we lied about everything on her deathbed. But she didn't. Right. There's nothing that ever came out about just her refuting what she had said. Now, though the Hills and Simon disagreed about the nature of the case, they all concurred that the hypnosis sessions were effective, and the Hills were no longer tormented by the anxiety of their experience. Afterwards, Hill wrote an article about the Hill. Simon wrote an article about the Hills for the journal Psychiatric Opinion, explaining his conclusions that the case was a singular psychological abbreviation.
So he never, do you know if he ever got, I'm assuming no, but another case where someone talked about UFOs or anything.
I'm assuming not. You and you would think another therapist would want to.
I was refocusing my camera.
I got you. Just like how you slowly did it. I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Cast a spell on you. Spell.
Now, the Hills went back to their regular lives, and they became more willing to discuss the UFO encounter with friends, families, and the occasional UFO researcher. But while they were willing to talk about it, they didn't go out of their way to court publicity. Now,
yeah.
Oh, it came to them. It came to them eventually.
Right.
But that's another thing why I kind of don't, like, we can say that something else happened and maybe Simon's right or maybe something else is there. We talked about Folie à Deux last week on a previous episode. And, you know, mental madness connected to one another. Possible here. But they didn't go out of their way to like be like, hey, we got abducted by aliens. I just told people, anybody that came to them, they were like, yeah, we'll talk about it with you. But they didn't go to like a newspaper. They came to them. And this happened in 1965, a front page story on the Boston Traveler called UFO Chiller. Did they seize a couple? A reporter, John H. Luttrell of the Traveler, had allegedly been given an audio tape recording of the lecture the Hills made in the Quincy Center in late 1963. Luttrell learned that the Hills had undergone hypnosis with Simon. He also obtained notes from a confidential interviews that the Hills had given UFO investigators. And on October 26th, United Press International picked up the Luttrell story, and the Hills earned international attention. And in 1966, writer John G. Fuller secured the cooperation of the Hills and Simon and wrote the book, The Interrupted Journey. The book included a copy of Betty's sketch of the star map, and the book was pretty successful. This is where everything started taking off for them. And there's been movies made about the Hills, like James Earl Jones, who was famously Darth Vader's voice, played Barney Hill in a movie about them.
Oh, that's cool.
And the pregnancy test that they gave Betty Hill happened. I remember an episode of The X-Files. The aliens did that to Scully. Or aliens did it to some female. I can't remember, but it's been forever since I watched the X-Files, but I remember the needle going into the abdomen in an X-Files episode. So clearly their story has had influence over sci-fi and just UFO stories in general. And part of the reason why this story took off compared to other abduction stories, because other people had been abducted, but the aliens didn't seem like dicks.
In the other ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first time that the aliens really came across as being just kind of jerks, just being like condescending, doing tests. Now, we talked about Eisenhower making a deal with aliens, being like, you can test us, but don't do any harm. But the Hills, remember, and whether this is just some fault of the aliens, just not doing a good mind wipe, or didn't even bother trying, and the Hills suppressed the memories, I don't know. But that's why this story so interesting is because it's the first one that made people go, holy shit. If you read this story, it would strike fear in you. There's a difference when aliens are abducting just random people, but nothing bad happens to them. You can just write it off because there's no fear element to it that's making you go, ooh, what if that happened to me? But with the Hills, it created kind of a fear thing, I think. And that's why it became so popular.
Yeah, that's a good point. Especially fear of like something potentially painful. Like that's something a little bit different than just the unknown.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. The unknown you can just look at with indifference. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Ned got abducted by aliens three towns over. Well, who cares? Nothing happened to him. Is Ned fine? Yeah. Ned seems fine. Whatever then.
Yeah.
But when you take people having traumatic experiences, it just adds another layer to where be like, I don't want to get abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
And just sure. Like the missing time and the hypnosis sessions, it just all kind of compounds to where it makes the story more interesting. Now let's talk about some skepticism outside of Simon.
Really quick, that was also like around the time when we were, you know, doing the moon stuff, right? So we were just starting to like go into space, and it's just like, oh shit, this terrifying thing could also happen to us if we're not careful, or just at random. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, before I get, there is one more thing Simon did speculate outside of that. He thought that the Hill's marital status had nothing to do with the UFO encounter. Because, and the only reason why I bring this up is that other people speculated that Barney Hill's stress came from being in an interracial marriage.
Oh, interesting.
So Simon at least did defend them on that.
Right.
Because there was a lot of people that were just like, oh, it's not real. That just Barney Hill stress being in an interracial marriage in the 60s, or people just being like, well, something might not be right with them because they're in an interracial marriage, because it, once again, it is the 60s, and that was kind of frowned upon at the time. Mm-hmm. But that
if the super skeptical therapist could say, you know, nah, it wasn't stress.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'm going to discount that. I'm going to discount that one. If the guy that's basically just being like, I believe something did happen to him, that there's some trauma going on, but I don't think it's this.
Right.
Now, this comes from a skeptic blogger named Brian Dunning, and he noted that the hypnosis sessions occurred over 2 years after the reported abductions, which afforded the couple plenty of time to discuss their encounter. Dunning concluded that the Hill's inventive tale from the mind of a lifelong UFO fanatic is unsupported by any useful evidence and is perfectly consistent with the purely natural explanation. He added that a timeline analysis of the two Air Force radar sightings from that night in the Project Blue Book record shows that neither correlated with the Hill story. The Air Force concluded that both targets were probably weather balloons. So Dunning kind of went a little extra mile here. He's just like, they had 2 years to perfect this story, and there was nothing in the sky that night. Now, I will say this. I kind of agree with him. The Air Force would tell you there's weather balloons or nothing was out there. They're not going to fucking tell you that there's UFOs.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, hey, Mr. Blogger dude. They would give him something else better to discredit and then just be like, nah, there's nothing in the sky.
Yeah, and we only just got that video UFO footage that we talked about before verified, like, you know, this year or last year. Yeah. So, yeah, certainly not going to tell anyone back then.
Yeah, especially not then.
Yeah. And also the fact that, like, the Hills didn't go rushing to the press or the media for attention about this. Like, if they made up a story, like, that would have been the point, was to like get famous and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Not to, like, I agree with you on that.
Not a made up story.
I agree with you on that. Now, this is from a 1990 article called Entirely Predisposed. Martin Kottmeyer suggests that Barney's memories revealed under hypnosis might have been influenced by an episode of The Outer Limits titled The Bellarellos Shield. I probably mangled that. Which was broadcast about 2 weeks before Barney's first hypnotic session. The episode featured an extraterrestrial with large eyes who says, in all the universe and all the unities, beyond the universe, all who have eyes that speak. The report from the regression featured a scenario that in some respects was similar to the television show.
Interesting. Now,
yeah. Wraparound eyes are an extreme rarity in science fiction films. I know of only one instance, and they appeared in the Alien episode of The Outer Limits.
What was the name of that episode? The something shield?
Yeah. B-E-L-L-E-R-O. The Bellarello.
Bellaro Shield. Okay. Yeah. I want to go back and try to watch that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to, too. I love The Outer Limits. I know, like...
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Back in the day.
Yeah, the old one and the, like, 90s one. Have they tried to bring it back? I know they brought the Twilight Zone back, but have they brought back the fucking Outer Limits? Because The Outer Limits was a little more edgy to me than the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was the 95 to 2002. That's the one that I watched. Yeah. But it doesn't look like they have tried to remake that. I'm not seeing anything.
Oh, man, it's only a matter of time. Oh, possible revival. Yeah, as of April.
Oh, yeah?
As of April 19th. Oh, well, April 2019, a revival is in the works for a premium cable network. Of course.
Yay. Watch now, it get butchered.
Yeah. A person familiar with Barney's sketch in The Interrupted Journey and the sketch done in collaboration with artist David Baker will find a frisance of deja vu creeping up his spine when seeing this episode. The semblance is much abetted by an absence of ears, hair, and nose on both aliens. Could it be chance? Consider this. Barney first described and drew the wraparound eyes during the hypnosis session of 1964. The episode was first broadcast 2 weeks before that. Only 12 days separated the two instances. If the identification is admitted, the commonness of wraparound eyes in the abduction literature falls to cultural forces. And when a different researcher asked Betty about the Outer Limits, she insisted she had never heard of it. Kottmeyer also pointed out that some motifs in the Hills account were present in the film Invaders from Mars. A careful analysis of Barney's description of non-human entities that he observed reveals significant similarities between the Bifrost Man and Barney's descriptive details. One must also take into account Barney's conscience, continuous recall of the entities he observed on the hovering craft. They were dressed in black, shiny uniforms and were somehow not human. So basically, this dude's argument is Barney Hill loves sci-fi.
Right.
And he just borrowed from sci-fi to do his thing.
Yeah. But then that doesn't explain why Betty held on to this 40 years, you know, after he died and on her deathbed.
Yeah. No, I agree. 100% agree. 100% agree. I think that, like, my take from it is I think there's plenty here that, you know, could leave you with doubt. But also give you enough reason to believe Barney Hill.
Mm-hmm. And it's always good to be, you know, skeptical of everything, at least a little bit. But, yeah, I think compared to some of the other stuff we've talked about, this sounds a lot more plausible.
Yeah.
Most.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the more plausible ones to me.
Yeah.
This reminds me of, like, the first episode with Felix Monocle, where I'm just like, it's very possible just because of all the weird shit. There's enough doubt in there to be like, it could have possibly not happened. But there's also enough in here that goes, I think it could very well have happened.
Yeah.
And I think everybody is just trying to find their own reasons to disprove them. If you were a fucking psychiatrist hypnotist in the fucking 60s and somebody came to you with aliens, you're going to find a way to disprove it.
Right.
Even today, somebody would be like, no, you're making that shit up.
Yeah, true. I mean, aliens, you know, obviously mainstream, but a lot of people think that we're the only special ones in this universe for some reason. So,
I know.
Yeah. Also, I found that episode. I linked it in the chat.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that after this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that too. I need an energy drink. I feel like tomorrow morning is going to be fucking insane.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, I am so not ready for tomorrow morning, but...
I'm not either. I'm not either because I don't know. There's so much... Like, I'm so tired of politics.
I know, me too.
Do you have anything?
I don't. I'm just
neither do I.
Wiped.
Yeah.
Just
me too.
But that was a really cool story. I've never I've always heard people talk about The Hills, but I never actually looked into it. Yeah. So
yeah,
that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, and there's a lot of material out there about them, and there's a couple of movies that are either about them or influenced by them. So go out there and check them out. And if you like what you hear, we are The High Kind. We are on every podcast platform of choice. So give us some subscribes, some likes, hearts, thumbs ups, whatever it is. And come to thehighkind.com for premium content. And have a great night.